Now, I don't know where you are on your zoology lessons that you had in college. Zoology, the study of animals, Z-O-O, zoo, instead of zoology, zoology. But no matter what scientists say, animals cannot talk. I hate to tell you that. Now they have some communication. I know the dolphins can kind of whine and maybe know they're supposed to do this. And the geese, I know they they honk, and it's like, now I'm leading the pack, and I know they're real intelligent. They're very intelligent, but intimate, understandable conversations, no animal. No, Pastor, my dog can talk. No. He might say, "Let me out." He might growl or bark and say, "There's no water in the boat." But I'm talking about, he can't talk about how he feels about beautiful days in the spring and how much he loves the Lord. You know, God has given only the human race the ability to express in detail how we feel about people, how we feel about things, and what a privilege to be able to communicate. And for those of us that are not mute and are not deaf, what a joy to be able to speak and to hear someone talk, and then us to be able to articulate and dictate words and vocabulary, and what a privilege it is. So notice, we see Solomon here teaching his son about the importance of wise words. Notice these highlights, and I'll just read them out loud if you'd like to follow. But Proverbs 10 and verse 11, he says, "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Verse 13, "In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding." Verse 14, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." 18, "He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In the multitude of words there lacketh or wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise." Verse 21, he says, "The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom." And verse 22, "The blessing of the Lord..." No, wrong verse, I'm sorry. And then... let me see, 11 and verse 22. How about that one? 11, verse 22. He says, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair or beautiful woman which is without discretion." We'll talk about that later. And then 12:25, he says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word," just one, "a good word maketh it glad." How powerful are words? Just so powerful. In your notes here, we'll give you just some blanks to fill in. The average man speaks, there it is, 10,000 words per day. And that's the average man. That's a lot of words, 10,000 words. Well, the average woman, not all, but statistics show, speak 25,000 words per day. Now, where the problem in marriage comes in is the man has already spoken his 10,000 words for the day when he comes home from work, and his wife is just beginning her 25,000 words for the day when he comes home from work. And so that's why oft times women are better speakers than men, because they can express themselves more. They give more detail. Well, think about it. We've spoken about this before, but a marriage or a man and a woman is kind of like a newspaper. Men speak in headlines, just big, bold print. "How was your day?" "Fine." "What happened at work today?" "Nothing." "What did you do today?" "Work." You know, just one word. You ask the lady the same thing. "How was your day?" "Well, I got up a little late, and little Junior, he was a little sick, and I had to make the lunch, and the coffee pot kind of overflowed a little bit, and then I got a phone call. It was my mother, and we talked for a little while, and then I had to drive to her. I had to put my makeup on. It's all the fine print." And so, but God needs both for a good newspaper. Oft times, the greatest soul winners are ladies. How come? Because they've maybe got a bigger vocabulary. They comment on things. They connect better because they just do. All right. So, okay, let's get on with the message here. Luke 6:45, the Bible talks about our words always reveal our heart. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if someone cusses or they're trying to straighten out maybe dirty language, you never work on the language. You always work on the heart. The heart is the fountain that river flows. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. So let's just look at some practical tongue tamers. Also in the introduction, two of the Ten Commandments refer to words. See if you can guess which ones. Anybody? Now don't yell it out, but just someone. I know one of the Ten Commandments that deals with our words. Somebody want to help me? Okay, where is it? What is it? Okay, thou shalt not bear false witness. So lying is one. What would another one be? One of the other Ten Commandments. Okay, Kathleen? Okay, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. So there's 1/5 of the Ten Commandments deal with the tongue. Isn't that amazing? So a majority, more than any other command, that one subject deals with that. So it is a great power. Someone said our tongue has power to delight. It has power to direct. And then it's got power to destroy. So what are some things we can do to tame our tongue? We're not going to get into how it's like a fire. It's like a serpent. Someone said our tongue is so much on fire and so dangerous, God puts it in our mouth filled with spit. Just to keep the fire out. Well, I don't know if that's really it. I think spit helps with digestion or something. And it's called saliva, I understand. So here we are. Practical tongue tamers. This will help us stay out of trouble. I guarantee you. Now, if you can, I want you to turn to the verses and we'll look at them. So here it is. First one, you ready? Keep it closed. So speaking of the mouth, keep it closed. You say, what? Notice Proverbs 13:3. Solomon says to his son, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. And one of the Proverbs, Solomon says, if you'll keep your mouth closed, no one will know if you're foolish or not. Yes. It'll keep them guessing. Now, you may be foolish, but when the mouth is closed, no one will know it. Okay. Keep it closed. You say, well, that's kind of an insult. But God is just saying, a lot of times we open it when we ought to keep it closed. Number two, look at this one here. Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Proverbs 29. Let's look over here. And these are all maybe lessons parents ought to be teaching kids. Maybe it's just reminders for us. But notice what he says here. Look at this. Proverbs 29:20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him. Now, probably we won't remember, but you ever have someone maybe say, hey, let me tell you something, and you maybe interrupted, and you answered it and found out that's not really what they were talking about? Okay, let's vote. Who would say men interrupt while other people talk more than women? You would say, I think men interrupt more. Okay, any hands on that? Who would say, no, I think women interrupt more while others are talking? Okay, well, I don't know which one's true. I'm just wondering if you knew. But here's why. Here's what happens. When someone is speaking, some people, they're trying to figure out the answer in their head. They're not listening. They're figuring out the answer. Once they have the answer, they just want to stop the conversation. We're wasting time. Here's the answer. And with a man, oftentimes men are trying to fix a problem. And in a marriage, oftentimes the woman does not want the problem fixed. She wants to hear how you feel about the problem. I didn't come for you to fix the problem. I came for you to hug me and just listen. Okay, that didn't go over well, but anyway, so a little marriage counseling here tonight. But be slow to speak, and then look here in Proverbs 18, you'll love this. Proverbs 18 in verse number 13. 18, 13, and the blank is, hear it out before speaking. Hear it out before speaking. So here it is, 18 and 13, and it says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Okay? And I know sometimes on these game shows, it'll be, all right, what category? And I know they have to jump in. But I wonder how many times they jump in, and then it's the wrong answer. They say, and now for the rest of the question. There was a man years ago, his wife was, he was on a business trip, and his wife was at some real nice vacation resort area, and she could only telegraph him. It was in the olden days. Found beautiful diamond ring. I love it. He telegraphed back. She said, can I have it? He telegraphed back, how much is it? She said, $10,000. So he telegraphed back, no, comma, price too high. Well, when the telegraph person sent that wire, he left the comma out. It just said, no price too high. Oh, no. And she bought it. Sometimes one comma makes a whole lot of difference. One word. Years ago, when we were trying to get permission from the city of Napa to build our two-story building, we had to meet with it was a public hearing in the planning department. So the mayor is there. Some of the city council people are there. The public building inspector's there. So the people who give you power to have that building permit are all there. But the neighbors get to speak first. And, you know, too much traffic. And, you know, we heard things like, it's too much on too little. They're trying to build too much on too little land. And they need to move. And man, everyone just said their stuff. And I mean, we had a packed courthouse, if you will. I mean, we had a ton of people from our church there. And I remember some of our people were getting riled up because neighbors were insulting me. And they were insulting our church. I said, sit down. You know, I appreciate your attitude, but, you know, just be quiet. And so we had to hear all that. And I was just taking notes. Just taking notes the whole time of things that they said. And then they said, all right, Reverend, what do you have to say? I said, well, looks like it's five concerns. We didn't interrupt them. We didn't comment. We waited till it was our turn. Well, it looks like there's five concerns here, and here's what we'll do about this, 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 and this. Sometimes you want to hear someone out before you interrupt and just kind of hear, because it may take care of itself. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying a wise person hears it out, hears what they're going to say. Number next, look down in chapter number 15, if you will, Proverbs 15. And these are all things to help us with relationships, with people we work with bosses, with employees, with followers, with leaders, with mates, with parents, with friends. So many ways this goes. But in Proverbs 15, in verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. And look at this. And a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Now, what's he talking about here? Number four, look for proper timing. Amen. Look for proper timing. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, to everything there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to rejoice, a time to weep, and all these things. So sometimes it's not what you say, it's the timing. Amen. The husband's coming home from work. He's had a long day. One thing he's thinking about, y'all ready? I'll spell it, F-O-O-D. He's thinking of food. He's hungry. He's a grouch because he's hungry. His stomach's growling. It's saying, you're starving to death. You got 30 minutes and you're going to die. And And that's not true, but when men are hungry, they're a little bit grumpy, they're a little tired, it's a, hey, don't talk to me. I don't need to know about the kids, the problems, the homework, nothing, just food, and then let's talk. And so sometimes it's the timing of what we say. Catching people at the right time. The time to ask for an allowance, raise, or if you're a young person, going on a great trip or borrowing money from your parents or earning money is probably not when they're kind of having a little friction. It's probably after they just said, "You made straight A's? Yeah. Hey, Dad, by the way, could I?" That's good timing. Good timing. So you want to look for the right timing. Same thing in soul winning. When a man answers the door and you're soul winning and he's got a piece of steak on his fork, it is not the time to say, "If you died today." It's time to say, "Man, I'm sorry we interrupted supper. Here's a card. We'll catch you some other time." That's the time to do that. If a family's having a loud discussion that you can hear five blocks away, probably not a good time to knock on the door and say, "If you died today." There is a time. There's a time. Okay, let's keep going here. Number five, use soft words. Use soft words. Look here in 15:1, if you will, of Proverbs. Proverbs 15:1. And it says, "A soft answer," and that word soft, if you study it, it's not talking about quiet. A lot of times we think answer quietly. It's not talking about that. It's talking about soft words. Words that are not harsh. Words that do not make people angry. Okay, for instance. Okay, so here's a husband. He's repairing something. Okay, be careful, honey. You know, that's my china cabinet. And be careful. You're putting that knob on. Don't break. And smash. Well, that was the stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. A harsh word. Are you the only idiot born in your family? Or are there more? Harsh words. So we all have a vocabulary of harsh words we can dish out anytime we want. By the way, Brother Gibbs, he's always confessing his use of harsh words on people. And so he's saying, learn to use soft words. Soft words are like the special forces guy who they found a landmine on the ground and they're, what's the word I'm thinking of? Trying to make it so it won't blow up. Not just disarm. What was it? Diffusing. Yeah, same thing, I guess. But he's diffusing that bomb. You want to be able to diffuse some situations, not just step on it and blow the whole family up. So he says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." It's our choice of words. Verse 4, he continues, "A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." Learn to use soft words. Amen. You're training someone at work and they make a mistake, learn how to use soft words. So they can save face. All right, it's not the end of the world, okay? All right, it just cost our company $10 million. But by the way, today's your last day. And let me help you pack your locker. Okay, so here we are. Number next. In our words, we are not to be harsh. Look in chapter 18 and verse number 8. Verse number 8. 18:8. Now, you say, "Well, Pastor, how come some people are just kind of naturally harsh in their words?" I think some of it is not hereditary, but our families were that way. Some families used a lot of mean words and they were loud and they were always humiliating the other family members and putting people down. And then other families were always just kind in their words. You know, it's hard to do what you've never seen. But with God's Holy Spirit, we can have kind words. But notice what he says here in this one. He says in 18:8, he says, "The words of a talebearer," notice what some words can do, "or as wounds. And they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Some words go deep. You know what I'm saying? Okay, let's find out. You don't have to do... Okay. Who's ever had someone tell you words, and I'm not talking about bad word, bad news, like you know, someone passed away or something like that. But they said something about you or about your intelligence or something, but it made you cry. I'll lift my hand. So words can go real deep. And then I guarantee you, most of us can remember some conversation that went back 30, 40, 50 years. Something someone said that really didn't need to be said. 70. Wow. I can't imagine anyone saying anything unkind to you, Brother Dewey. But keep going here. Notice here. Now, here's another one. 1728. These are just tongue tamers, things to help us. Because the more we can control that tongue, the less apologies we have to make. So 17, look down in verse number 28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So all throughout Proverbs, we keep seeing it repeated. We probably need to talk less. He's not saying we shouldn't talk at all, but he's just saying a lot of times it gets us in trouble. So number seven, the answer is be quiet. Be quiet. So when are some times we should be quiet or not say anything? Several times, and if you want to just jot these down on the side there. When you're around someone, ... more experienced. Okay? So here's the church air conditioner. It's not working. Several men are trying to look at it. Now, here's Brother Juan. He's HVAC. It stands for heat and something else. I don't know what else it stands for, but HVAC. And so he knows air, he knows heat. That's what he does for a living. He's been trained in that. Now, if people are looking at the the air units, trying to figure it out, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to let him talk. Because I have no idea. You know, I might say, I think you need to plug it in. You know, something like that maybe. But I don't know that subject. So when you're around someone like the boss at your job, you're the assistant surgeon. He's done 15,000 surgeons. He's done that many surgeries. It's probably good just to kind of listen. Oftentimes, we do all the talking when we're around someone very smart in a field. We ought to just be listening. Second, when we're around someone older. Years ago, this was kind of a saying, and we're not down on kids. Kids, when company's over, should be seen, not always heard. The kids should not always be the center of attention, so the parents never have a chance to talk. They're running right. Here's two parents. They're running in between them and running in between them and throwing and hollering. Kids need to be trained, but there's a time when you're around people older than you, you probably ought to ask questions and then listen. They've got a lot to say. Tom Brokaw's book, The Greatest Generation. Look at all those stories about people went through World War II and they said, here's how we made it and here's what we had to do. What a great generation. That generation's about to die off. We better get all the information and wisdom that we can from them. Third, and these are not always cut in stone. Number three, when there's controversy. Well, they shouldn't have that woman as the Supreme Court Justice. She don't even know what a woman is. Well, she's this. Well, she's this office. And here's something she did. Here, you know, if you don't know a subject well, it's probably good to stay out of it. Should we even be in Ukraine? When you don't know how to spell it, you might not want to give a whole lot of opinions on it. Them Iranians, man, they're just being bombed by Russia. It's not the Iranians. It's the Ukrainians. You know, sometimes we hear bits and pieces, and we probably ought to just be quiet because we don't know what's going on. We can't pronounce people's names. You know, it doesn't hurt just to listen. Be careful with those things. Controversy. Now, someone puts you in a corner and says, what do you really believe about it? You ought to have an opinion biblically on things. Number next, when someone is criticized. when someone is criticized. Now, I know, I've heard people say this. If anyone ever criticizes anybody I know, if you're a woman, take off your high heel shoe and just hit them right in the eye. You know, that may be a little extreme. Someone criticizes someone I know, just deck them right there. You know, sometimes people have a bad day and they say something they shouldn't. So what do? Someone criticizes someone you love, you just be quiet. And you just kind of stare. They'll get the message. And then they'll try to say it again, and you'll still be quiet, just kind of staring. And pretty soon it'll be like, oh, I get it. And they'll be quiet. Sometimes just silence says volumes. Now, you know, you do more. I mean, if they don't get it and they keep going, then you just need to stop and say, hey, look. We're not going there. And then you brag on whoever that is. But just silence does things. It just does some things. Quickly here, next. Controlled words give us less trouble. Look over here in chapter 21. 21 and verse number 23. The Bible talks about foolish people saying, it's kind of like this. When a fool has a thought come in their mind, it comes out of their mouth immediately. You never want to be like that. Someone says, well, if you think it, you might as well say it. No. Are you going to tell every boss you've ever had what you think about them? You may not have a job. You're going to tell all your in-laws everything you think about them? You're not going to have a mate. Sometimes you're going to think things and you ought never say it. There's got to be some control, but notice what he says. I don't know, this may not be too exciting, but it's very practical. 21 and verse 23. He that keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Amen. What's that mean? Well, when you can't control your tongue, you're going to hurt feelings. Now there's going to be people mad at you. Then you may, if you humble yourself, you may have to make an apology. No one likes doing that. And now someone else is going to hear what you said, so now someone else is mad at you. It just, when you cannot control the tongue, it causes all kind of problems. You ever tell someone something in secret and a little bird carried it to someone else? Pretty soon everybody knows. It's just so powerful, this thing of words. We used to have a staff member in Louisiana. He was the music director, Al Bartlett. His granddaddy wrote that famous song, Victory in Jesus, E.M. Bartlett. Well, Brother Al was very quiet. He didn't mince words. He didn't say a lot. He was the basketball coach. He taught in the Christian school, led the choir, sang two specials at my dad's funeral. Just a wonderful man, wonderful man. But you never heard him talk. You just didn't. I mean, you know, he may call a timeout and chew the guys out in the basketball or, you know, in the Christian school, he may say, but as a staff member, you rarely heard Al Bartlett say anything. We'd have a staff meeting. Anybody, any questions, any comments? And the pastor would have to say, Brother Al, what do you think? When Al Bartlett spoke, it was like that old E.F. Hutton commercial. Everyone listened like Al speaks. He didn't speak much, but when he did, everyone listened. There were other staff members that talked all the time. So when you have an opinion, no one cared what they thought. We had already heard it. You want to be someone that when you speak, someone says, I bet they have something to say. And then over in Matthew 12:36, you need not turn there. Oh, let's turn there. And the little blank there is avoid idle words. Avoid idle words. Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12. Looking down at verse number 36. I know this is going to sound very strange. When our kids started dating seriously when they were in college, if they lived at our house, get this, we didn't even have cell phones back then. You know, it's ancient. We had that landline. And we had a telephone, and it could kind of go around the corner. You know, you could hear kind of muffled talking. And we said, when they call, or when you call, you got 15 minutes. What? We're in college. We're dating. You got 15 minutes. It's enough. Say what you're going to say and hang up. After 15 minutes, you must be rehashing the same stuff. 15 minutes. Yeah, that's plenty. Avoid idle words. No one needs a 3-hour conversation with anybody. Amen. Amen. Say what you're going to say. Okay. Wow. Oh, pastor's weird. First Jesus eats people, now 15-minute phone calls. Never heard of anything like this. Avoid idle words. Next, keep it clean. Keep it clean. Ephesians 4, I'll read it. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, well, one, we as parents, we decide what's clean. And we're accountable for the language in our homes. Just because we're not at church, there should not be some words used, probably at all, in our homes. Amen. And it ought to be this way, too. Guys that go to public school, and it's PE time, so all the guys are together, and now you're in the locker room. The conversation ought not drop down to the dirt and the gutter. Amen. Amen. It ought not be things said that would be embarrassed if Jesus was in the locker room. Amen. Keep it clean. Words that are almost cuss words, that are real close, and they start with the same letter, and it's kind of a substitute. It's kind of like I'm getting off heroin, so I'm just smoking pot now. You know, we're kind of downscaling. You want to keep the mouth clean. You want to keep it clean. Above reproach. And so, what else about tongue taming? Keep it clean. Number next, control words always prove maturity. In James 1:26, it talks about a mature Christian controlling the tongue, controlling his words. Assume responsibility for your word. Well, I was angry and I said it. Still responsible. Well, I was mad, and I said it. Well, you must have meant it, because it came out of the heart. Right. Amen. Well, I was angry, and I just kind of boiled over. And hey, but you're still accountable for your words. And then in 1 Peter 3:10, it gives us good days. It just gives us good days. Heard about a very, very smart man. He was a mathematician. Any people pretty good at math here tonight? Pretty good? I won't put you on the spot, I promise. Okay? You passed Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. At least you got that far. Okay? How many of you passed calculus also? Wow. Trigonometry. Whoa. That's beyond me. I never had trig. Good. All right. Brother Steve, no, that doesn't count. No, that's MIG. That's MIG and TIG. That's welding. Okay. And so trig is different. So here we are. So the chauffeur was going to take the mathematician. They were honoring him at this great big banquet. And they were honoring him and saying how smart he was and all the degrees. So he got with the chauffeur and he said, you know, I'm so tired. He said, I go to all these banquets, get honored. He said, how about I be the chauffeur tonight? And you be the big shot. We'll let them think you're the mathematician. He goes, really? I said, okay. He said, you ride in the back, I'll drive the car. So the smart mathematician is driving the car, pulls up. Oh, come on. Oh, your chauffeur can sit with you in the banquet. Okay. So there they are. And then it all backfired. They said, before we eat, we would like to give one math question to the professor that's so smart. And they're looking at the chauffeur. And they said, now the cotangent of this divided by that times this to the third power divided by... And then they gave him this long thing. And the answer is what? He said, that's about the dumb... The chauffeur said, that's about the dumbest thing I've ever... That is so easy. I'm going to let the chauffeur answer that. Words. So here's the bonus ones. Let me just give you these quickly. We got about 6 minutes here. Bonus. Number one, keep your word. If you're going to be put on the hot spot, do you promise you want to keep your word? I told the story years ago when our son Jonathan, I think, was 16, turned 16, I said, look, I'm going to take you to any restaurant you want to go to within driving distance. This week, well, we're working on the building. I'd work till, who knows, 9 o'clock. I come in. It's 9 o'clock. I am whipped. He goes, Dad, you're home. I said, yeah, I'm home. Oh, I'm so beat. He said, you said you'd take me out tonight for my birthday. I said, okay, where you want to go? It's 9 o'clock. He said, I'd like to go to Claim Jumpers in Concord. Hour drive, Friday night, at least hour and a half wait. No reservations. I said, here we go. Push me out the door. We drove all the way there. I almost drowned when I fell asleep and my face went about 3 inches deep in my soup. And you said, why'd you do it? I promised. Amen. My promise meant more to me than sleep that night. Maybe make few promises, but follow through. You want to follow through. Keep your word. Number next, tell the truth. Now, some of you perhaps here tonight, you grew up lying a lot. And you know how that is. A lie is like a table. It takes so many legs to keep it standing up. Someone said, if you always tell the truth, you never have to remember what you ever said. Because it keeps changing all the time. You want to just always tell the truth. I've read it. Read the account, you've read it, the George Washington chopping down the cherry tree, and I cannot tell a lie, I did it. You've read Honest Abe Lincoln. That was not just something in books, that's what people called him. He did a public speech one day, and he just gave a minimal statistic. You know, the guy walked 2 miles, and here's what he did. He got all the way home and remembered the guy walked 6 miles, not 2 miles. Lincoln walked all the way back to the town, gathered the crowd. He said, I made a mistake. The guy walked 6 miles. Walked all that distance to correct something in a speech. You want to be known as someone that's honest. If they say it, it must be true. They always tell the truth. You don't want to be like that boy that cried wolf. He lied and lied and lied and lied and lied. And finally the wolf came after the sheep and no one believed him then. You want to start as a child. Don't lie to cover for someone. Don't lie because you're in trouble. Don't lie because you're fearful. You just want to tell the truth. Jesus always told the truth. Next, learn to speak kindly. Speak kindly. And along with that, be discreet. The Bible says a beautiful woman without discretion is like a swine with a beautiful, what is it? Ring, gold, what's the Bible word? Beautiful. Oh, I forget the Bible word. But with a gem or a something. It's in there somewhere. But it says a pig with a beautiful diamond in its nose, it's still a pig. So what he's saying is this. There's some things that ought not be talked about. Some people don't know what that line is. It's called discretion. For instance, here's a husband, and maybe he's been sick to his stomach all day long. The whole church doesn't need to know about that. So, the little family comes into church. Hey, let me see, is anybody named George here tonight? Okay, hey, I don't think so. Hey, where's George? Well, he had diarrhea all through the night. It's just terrible. Now, everyone's heard this. Now, Brother George, he's an usher that night. He's feeling better. And the pastor still remembers he had diarrhea all through the night. Would Brother Diarrhea come and, Brother George come and lead us in prayer. So there's certain things that ought never be talked about publicly with others. And we have to know what those lines are. Discreet. A person who's not discreet embarrasses their mate, embarrasses their family, embarrasses their friends. Next, brag on people. Jesus always did. Someone says, well, what about John the Baptist? He said, born of women, there's not a greater than John the Baptist. He looked at one person. There's not been so great faith in all of Israel like this person. The woman that poured the ointment, there's going to be a memorial forever. She'll be spoken about because what she's just done. You want to be someone that brags on people. Number next, Do not repeat what you are not sure about. We've all played the gossip game. You know, you line up at a party and, you know, someone tells a story and then they quickly tell it to the next, tell it to the next. And then you hear the last person. It's nothing like the first one. Because stories change. Never pass something on if you didn't see it and you're not totally sure it's true. I remember we were working on the new building one day and someone says, "Did you hear on the news? Michael Jackson was just murdered." He wasn't murdered. I don't know where he got that story. Be careful about passing something on. Amen. Number next. Do not write what you do not want read. We live in a day that will sure backfire on you. I wonder how many Supreme Court justices will not be sworn into office because they wrote something and posted it several years ago. Now it is all coming back to be said. This is what you said 3 years ago. Did you believe it then or do you believe it now? And it's all coming back. You want to be careful. Kids, don't write mean notes about someone. Don't criticize someone because someone's going to find that and it's going to be read. You're going to be very embarrassed. Now, you may have feelings or distrust for someone, but you ought not post, write, or share that. It's going to come back on you. And then last, someone said this, great minds speak about ideas. Average minds speak about things. Weak minds only talk about people. You want to be careful what you say. Tongue tamers, just some things to help us this week. The tongue, to tame that tongue. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings about these truths tonight. Pray you'd help us.